talk a little bit about the White Crowns of Upper Egypt and tell me about your interest in this.
Well, the White Crown of Upper Egypt can be seen on top of ancient Egyptian statues. It's also depicted in Egyptian reliefs and artwork. It's a conical-shaped crown, and it's known as the Hedyet, and it's sometimes combined with another crown called the Deseret, which is the crown of Lower Egypt, and combined they are called the Pshent. They symbolize the unification of Upper and Lower Egypt. Many statues in Egypt can be seen with the crown sitting on top of the head of the pharaoh. And in the Ramses Hall at Luxor, several of these crowns had fallen and were placed in front of the statues that are situated in the hall. And it was in 2004 when I first visited Luxor, and it was at night when the temple was lit up, so it was quite an impressive sight. And the tour guide, the Egyptologist, was actually describing the reliefs on the walls, and the glint of granite actually caught my eye, and I went over to these unusual granite objects, and they were actually the white crown, or the conical crown of southern Egypt, and or upper Egypt. The interesting thing about these crowns, and that these should be of interest to anyone who has a fascination for lost civilizations, and Egypt in particular, but the granite conical crowns were actually shaped like they were ellipses. My studies of them determined eventually that all these conical crowns that are found on the hundreds of statues were crafted as ellipsoids. That in itself is very, very significant. And as I illustrate in my book, with the photographs that I had taken at Luxor, at Karnak, at the British Museum, these crowns are all shaped like ellipses. And the ellipse, or the ellipsoid, is actually used. I mean, we use it in manufacturing jet engine parts because the tail cones or the inner hubs for some of the assemblies that we make are actually designed as ellipsoids.
Okay.
And an ellipsoid is actually a solid. It's not an ellipse, obviously, is a two-dimensional shape, and they can be described on paper with paper and pencil, and there is a mathematical formula for them. But the ancient Egyptians, they were not known to be using ellipses, let alone crafting ellipsoids, which is the solid. It's like you take that ellipse and spin it in a lathe, and you have an ellipsoid. The amazing thing about them was that they're not just it's not just the shape, but the feel of these crowns, because they were on the ground. I could actually run my hands over the surface, and I was very impressed with the feel of the craftsmanship, because there were no dips, no bumps, no pits, or any irregularity in the surface. It was just like running my hands over some artifact or piece that had come out of a modern machine, and the surfaces were that smooth and regular. But that was in 2004. I didn't have much time, and of course I was with the group, so I had to move on. And it wasn't until 2006 I signed up for a tour with John Anthony West, actually, and I took some digital camera with me for the express intention of actually taking photographs of these crowns and examining them in my computer, because I was interested to see if these crowns, or one side of the crown, was equal to the other side. And it was in 2006 I took photographs of the Ramses head, which is outside the Temple of Luxor.
And could you see any kind of like mistakes or markings on them, like like someone, if somebody was sculpturing these things out, you know, it had a groove line?
You know, that's a very interesting question. At the time, I didn't see anything on the crowns or the the Ramses head. The crown was about just about perfect, and the smoothness of it, and also the geometry of it. When I examined it in my computer, and I describe it in my book, the process that I went through. So, but going further with my investigation, I did start to detect. I did detect through digital zoom in my computer on some of the Ramses faces certain errors, what I would call mistakes. But I had to be sure of what I was looking at, and so I had to go back with a better camera and with a optical zoom in order to be able to pull that information out a little clearer. And I went back in my first visit in 2006 was in February, and I came back and looked at what I had in my computer, and I went to my boss, the CEO of the company, and I said, Judd, I would like to go back to Egypt. I need to go back to Egypt. And I just used up some of my vacation time, and he wasn't ready for me to go back to Egypt. And he says, well, you just got back from Egypt. Why do you need to go back? You know, and I said, well, rather than explain it to you, I'll bring my laptop in tomorrow, and I'll show you why I need to go back. And so Judd is a great guy. I mean, he's a very brilliant man, actually an attorney by profession, but this has been the CEO of a manufacturing company for over 20 years, so he knows manufacturing very well, too. And I brought my laptop in the following day, and I showed him the symmetry that I was that was coming out of these photographs with the of the statues, the faces, and also on the crowns. And the way I demonstrated it was the same way that you'd see in that video clip, where I take the original image, make a copy of it, I flip it horizontally to make a mirror image, and then I make it into a transparency, and then bring it across the original to line up the features of the geometry of the crown or the features of the face to determine what kind of error or difference there is between the two. Well, I went through the whole process with Judd looking over my shoulder, and at the end of about 15, 20 minutes, he looked at me and he says, I see what you mean. You need to go. But I showed him another photograph, and I said, well, look, if I zoom in here, it appears that what we have on this are tool marks, and I need to go back and not only to optically zoom in on those features to see if they really are tool marks,
sure.
But I also need to take better photographs, more symmetrical photographs, because the ones that I had taken were slightly off axis, so not all the features of the face lined up. And also, I showed him the stone at Abu Rawash and my analysis of the stone at Abu Rawash. So he was very fascinated with that. And he said, yeah, okay, I see what you mean.
That's the one you were on the same show I was on, the Ancient Aliens of the History Channel, right? You were talking about that.
On the evidence, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I did talk about that. That is what I consider to be a smoking gun. There are several people who have called it the new Rosetta Stone because it speaks volumes of the level of technology of the ancient Egyptians.